It's interesting.
And I thought it was interesting. But anyway, that journal was there, and there were a lot of other papers, but shoot, if we had known what was going to happen, we would have read every slip of paper there or take them out to where we could have read them in privacy. Because the day after Father's funeral, they appointed High to be the one to represent their family, and Eris for our family. And Eris and High was to get together the next morning and go down through Dad's desk and stuff and see if what they can get lined up. So they did. And the next morning, the desk had been rifled. There was the thing left in it. Lots of boxes of Dad that had kept memorabilia from the beginning, every paper. A lot of stuff that was important that needed to be sorted. All disappeared before they got there. And not until quite a bit later, Aerosol was accused Flora of taking this other will. And the will that was left was an old one, but what I wonder is why didn't Dad destroy it? It was old, this other was new, because Dell had been begging Daddy. He says, you know, when you die, what's going to happen? Why don't you make your will out? And if they don't like it, at least you won't be around to hear them. So we presumed he had made one. And Flora as much admitted it a long time afterwards, after 2 years of bickering and putting all the dirty linen in the paper through the courts. I don't think Dad appreciated that a bit, because he wasn't the kind that wanted to be in the... He worked with the public, but lots of times, like in the legislature, he'd be behind the throne lobbying for different things and pushing things on. So he was that and knew just what was going on. But And David O. McKay, when he talked at the funeral, he said he had done and obeyed many of the commandments that had been asked of him, some which weren't so popular, and said he was 100% Mormon. I wanted to put up one of the stories I sent into the DUP, and Gladys was citing it, and she wouldn't. Well, you can't be perfect in everything, and of course, things were different. If we had had him alone, things would have been a lot different. We would have known him better, and he would have known us better. But it was the younger ones that took care of him after Mother went.
Now, when your mother passed away in 1931, and the other wife had already passed away too, where did Hiram live for those last 7 years or so until he died?
Well, until Flora moved to Salt Lake, Dad still went one there and one home. One where Flora was, and then you see there was Gladys, Dill, and Byron.
What, 1 week in each home, or one?
No, every other night.
Every other night. And so from 1931 to 19, till whenever Flora moved to Salt Lake.
I don't remember what day, but he had given her home down on Kickery, and she had sold it.
Oh.
And bought a place in Salt Lake. And we found out afterwards that's where all the boxes and things.
Wow.
But the main records that they were starting to work on, Dad had put in Della's trunk and put a padlock on it upstairs. But off of her bedroom was where this, I don't know if you remember seeing a turret.
Yes, I've seen pictures
Well,
of
see,
that.
That's all taken off, just leaving Hiram Bellnett's name.
Uh-huh. Yes, uh-huh.
But the top. But in that room was all these boxes. But they hadn't been searched too much, and it's like Della said, when you go to clean things up, don't stop and look at any papers. Then you're stuck. But we found out, a long time afterwards, that one of our cousins, who we thought was as friendly to us as to someone else, that Flora had called her to come up with her car, and they loaded all this stuff on and took it to the depot and mailed it to Salt Lake, to Florida.
Huh.
So we found that out afterwards, and of course, went this deed, when she got mad near the end of 2 years of vacation, she halfway admitted that the deed, the will they brought out was not what Dad had written. The last, because it was a long time it was written before, and Dad had had some differences with one of his sons, and he made it that way, but it wasn't that way at the end. Should I tell how they got everything they were trying?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think this is interesting. Yeah.
Well, it might not be that a lot of people don't know there was two families involved. But anyway, after the funeral, we went back to 2149 Madison, and Marion had stuff for Dad's all laid out in his bedroom on the front floor. He kept that just for himself when he was alone. Because after Byron bought 904, there for a while, Dad and Byron stayed together for a little while, and they also stayed in an apartment over the lumber company.
Yes, I remember that.
And one day Byron says he got home, and when he opened the door, there was Dad sitting across the room from the range, crying. He went to light the oven, I guess, and turned it on and waited, I guess, till too much gas. And as soon as he put the match to it, it blew him clear across the room.
Wow.
Just set him down. It didn't hurt him. All it hurt was his dignity. He was so mad to think that he didn't know how to work these modern things. Well, anyway, after the funeral, and Marion had stuff laid out. And of course, what Dad had wasn't much for gals anyway. I did take a pair of his cufflinks because the uniform I was wearing got the temple. I could use those in there, but that was all. And Flora grabbed his overcoat and threw it over her shoulder, ranced around the room. See, now I got my man. Anyway, they didn't pay much attention to her, but there were several other things. And then the last suit that Dad had wouldn't fit any of his sons or his grandsons that were there. It fit only Glenn, so Glenn got it. And years later, he wore it. You know, it's a summer suit because it's lightweight. He was going to give it to one of the fellows that needed it, but Glenn didn't consider the difference in height between him and this young fellow. The young fellow had long legs. Fit him except the length of the pants, and I said, if you'd have been where I could, maybe I could have let it, you know, the pants down to fix it if it wasn't too much different. But anyway, it turned to give juice for somebody who really needed one. And then there was Dad's temple clothes. And Olive said, well, I think I should have that. And she opened it up, and the green apron was there.
Really?
Then that struck up something. She said, Marion, you've taken it out. She said, that apron was originally Grandmother Knight's Belknap.
Wow.
Or was hers, and I have patched it and repatched it for Father all these years, because Dad, who didn't have a lot to do, went to the temple nearly every other day on the Bamberger. He never drove. Remember that time he had to quit driving because of his eyesight. And so they had kind of a set-to right there.